Hello and welcome to Entwistle Partners' signature series, Your Story is Our Story. We're here to introduce you to the people behind entrepreneurship and philanthropy. Together, we will get to know them on a personal level, walk through their early days, and better understand their mission. We encourage you to listen as their voices change, showcasing excitement or confessing their fears. You might so happen to notice that their story is not so dissimilar from our own. Our guests want to empower your inner voice and move you to act on your own endeavors. They are on the show to teach us their lessons while inspiring us to go out and learn our own. With that, please join us as we explore the characters behind these stories on another episode of Your Story is Our Story. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Kevin Entwistle, and I will be your host today. Today, we have Stereo with us, a bold new startup paying rideshare drivers to stream music by emerging artists. Our guest is a serial entrepreneur, and she is quickly becoming a household name in the media space. She has founded companies in ad tech, real estate, and now music. We will hear much more on Stereo, but let's get to work on today's agenda. You are going to hear what can be done to further promote female entrepreneurs and women in tech, how Stereo recently secured a seed round of funding, and how the concept is evolving, expanding music discovery, and accelerating career mentorship. Please help me welcome another amazing friend to the podcast, Anne Cavanaugh. Anne, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin with opportunities. How did you grow to be an entrepreneur?
Well, I started my career in sales. So I think most salespeople will have an element of entrepreneurship or entrepreneurial characters. When I was about 21, I had come from advertising sales and had been working with multi-million dollar targets. And I had a moment where I just thought to myself, well, if I can do it for somebody else, why can't I do it for myself? And I started my first company at 21. It's very much relationship driven. And I think if somebody provided me with an opportunity to learn or get insight or knowledge relative to what I'm doing, I always take those opportunities.
And what have you learned or found out about yourself?
So many things. I'm not naturally somebody who's organized. It's a skill I've had to develop over the last 8 or 9 years. And I think in terms of communication and team management isn't something that like naturally comes to me. So the recruitment side is great, but the everyday management side is like something that I've had to learn over the last couple of years. And then I think in terms of overall, like building a business and fundraising, the financial side is something that you just have to kind of jump right into, right?
Right. And the pieces that you have learned throughout these different careers, really, is it translatable or is it very siloed to what you were doing?
No, absolutely. So prior to Stereo, I had an agency, and over a 2-year period, we had executed about 300 projects across every type of industry, size, business. And I think the fundamentals are the same, right? The industry knowledge comes with execution. So I've learned 3 industries essentially in the last like 5 years.
And what was Anne like before all of this?
Pretty much the same.
Were you into music?
No. I did play music growing up, but I never thought I would be in music business or industry in any way, shape, or form. But I think if you were to ask any of my friends, they would all probably say, like, I'm definitely in something I am still today is like spontaneous, and I'm definitely somebody who responds to adventure.
And you said you're working on organization,
yep,
getting better. How are you using spontaneity to move the ball down the field? How is it working for you?
For us internally as a team, we're very much around encouraging our team to be adults and mature and take ownership and accountability and responsibility. And one of the perks that come with being really great at your job is also having flexibility and being spontaneous. Even this week, our entire team is flying in from Los Angeles to New York for a couple of days with artists. And so I think elements of what we do on a daily basis, there's obviously is spontaneous, but I think it's also brings fun to work, right? And everyday culture.
And before we get into that, because we'll have plenty of that on the show, I was just curious, did you know any entrepreneurs? What did your parents do?
So my dad is an entrepreneur, and my mom on the other side writes early childhood policy for government. So two very, very different personalities. I think I got best of both worlds in the sense of you know, learning to take risks, but on the other side, assessing the risks that you're taking.
Calculated risks.
Calculated risks, yeah. You know, I grew up in countryside, got to do all the great things that, you know, horse riding and music and all of that good stuff.
And I want to jump a little bit to private financing because mm-hmm. you touched on it before. Give us a brief background of the current environment.
This is the first company that I've raised funds for, even though my prior startups I bootstrapped. But I have gone through the process of fundraising or exploring those opportunities prior to Stereo. Anything from an entrepreneurial perspective, all of those things that investors tell you as you go through the process in terms of, is the market big enough? Will the company make enough money? What's the competition? Really, only in the last couple of years, really makes sense now. And I think as an entrepreneur and a founder fundraising, you can take things personal when investors are giving you negatives. So I think for us, we've been really blessed in terms of fundraising for Stereo because it ticks all the boxes essentially. And I think the capital is there for the right businesses, but I think investors are definitely much more astute as to where they put their money and also sustainable business models that do have revenue streams.
And so is there a difference then, for those who might not know what bootstrapping is, mm-hmm. who are listening, what's the difference in the runway in terms of raising capital? Mm-hmm. How long does that take? How long does it take just to put your own money to work?
If I could choose a route, I would bootstrap all day, every day. For me, I'm an operator, right? So I like to see a return on my own time that's immediate. But one of our priorities is scaling the business, and we wouldn't be able to do that if we bootstrap, right? So fundraising was the right option for us. But I think for other businesses or founders who are thinking about bootstrapping, it's a really great way to be able to get concept off the ground, building your initial product and then proving out that the business will actually work, right? And then I think it's just being like smart around and resourceful around how you're doing that. Stereo, we bootstrapped up until June of last year. We were able to do that because synergetically we had an agency. We would use our own resource. We would maximize on our time while being able to sustain an income and our team rather than going the route of, you know, everybody having to show up to work for free.
And I want to further elaborate on some of those points too. We hear a lot about female entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. There's a number out there, only 2% receive funding, whether that's true or not. My take is anybody that sits in a room with Anne, why wouldn't I want to invest with you? You're a great person. You have a great story. Stereo mm-hmm. seems to be on a great track right now. What are the challenges that you face as a female entrepreneur?
So I think this is like a super interesting topic, right? There's obviously an element of what's going on in the market. But I think on the other side as well, is like, I haven't had any experiences where I've felt because I'm female or I am a woman, the opportunity isn't there. And my co-founder is female too, right? So it's two women walking into music industry, which is predominantly male, plus tech and fundraising. Yeah, I think there's fair opportunity for everyone. And I think on the other side, it's not just male-female, right? I think there's, you know, little female founders. And I think it's around communication and what we're used to too, right? So it's like, even from a founder perspective and an investor speaking to each other, we're both speaking different languages, right? So you have that barrier to overcome. But I think what's also very interesting is we had a situation with a female investor who was so excited about two female founders and part of the pre, you know, she wanted some additional information. One of the questions she asked was around advisory board and board of directors. And we put a list together of the questions. And as we were going through that process, realized that our entire advisory board was all male. And as a result of that, she was like, oh no, I don't want to have a conversation anymore because it's all male board. And I think on the other side of that is we then had to start thinking about, because I believe California is the first state to implement where you have to have at least one female on the advisory board. And so we had to think about, well, who would we put in there? So we recruit advisors and investors and partners as who's the best person to be a part of this. And so we had to then, on the flip side, as two female founders, start thinking about, okay, well, we have to put a female in there because it checks a box, right?
You had to be intentional about it.
Yeah. Thankfully, around the same time, a wonderful investor who's female happened to, and, you know, she sits on our advisory board. I think it affects all of us in different ways, right?
Well, let's get right into it with Stereo here. I want to talk a lot more about this. Who are you helping?
So we're a multi-sided marketplace. We have artists, writers, drivers, and brands are people that we engage with on any given day. So I guess I'll start with the artist. The premise of the business came from us trying to solve our own challenge, which was getting music to market. For the artist, we basically provide an alternative or complementary solution to radio promotion. So once the music is served out, we provide analytics back on like how that content was consumed so they can use it for A&R or basically using that data on external platforms for other marketing strategies, right? And then from the driver side, our drivers are incentivized to use Stereo. Currently right now, drivers use the app for about 140 hours a month, which is almost 100% of their drive time over streaming and radio. With them, we contribute up to about 10% of their annual income. So they use it to pay their car leases, their phone bills, take their significant other out. It's been really cool to watch it over the past months where now they've started to depend on Stereo income, and an average driver will earn about $220 and then on the high side between $300 and $400 a month for just playing music.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Unbelievable numbers. Take us through when you're sitting down in an Uber or mm-hmm. Lyft, whatever ride sharing app you're using. What's the experience? You come in, you hear a song, you mm-hmm. leave, and you download it?
Yep. Stereo is essentially a faceless brand, right? So for us, it's about facilitating the connection between new music, i.e. a new song from any size artist, to potential audience, right? And so let's say if you jump into the back of an Uber or Lyft, the driver will say, you know, do you have a preference in music, or the music will be playing. Let's say you positively react to a song. Then in that scenario, there's a couple of ways. Either the rider will ask the driver, what song is this? And they'll tap the screen and some information will come up around the artist. Ask Siri, what song is this? Takes you directly to the Apple Music Store, Shazam, obviously. And actually, Shazam is what we've seen is impacted most from Stereo activity. And then later this year, we will be releasing what we now call the Backseat app. But think about when you jump into the car and there's a sticker on the window and you like a song, you scan it, and then basically it will pull up name of artist, name of song, where to buy it, where to stream it, where to follow.
What's the integration like with these ride-sharing apps?
For us, in a perfect world scenario, we would sit on top of a rideshare app. So similar to how a driver turns on navigation, they just turn on Stereo. Our end goal is to be able to customize audio experiences for each and every individual who sits in rideshare for the amount of time that they're there. And so for the rideshare companies, the reason that we're valuable to them is, A, we provide ancillary income for their drivers, but then secondly, they also are thinking about experiences not just in the car, but also outside of the car, right? So example, whether it's a brand or artist, we can geo-target music from locations, right? So think about Ariana Grande playing at the Barclay Center. You can say, play this song to every car that picks up in a 2-block radius. And so now you're not just getting an experience in real life, you're also continuing a relationship post that experience. And that's something that they actively think about.
Very interesting. And then just from the driver's perspective, let's take it there. Sometimes I've been in Ubers before where they like to play their own music, or they like to talk a lot, or not enough. Where does this fit in? It's a replacement, it's a complement. Is this something that has an on and off switch to it?
Yeah, so they are incentivized to use it. I think their minds go to, do I make money or do I want to have a conversation? However, because they're very much focused on ratings and reviews from riders, and that's how they continue to be able to drive for any of the ride-sharing companies, It's very much prompted by the writer, right? So if the writer says turn it off or turn it down or I want to hear something else, then the driver will take those actions. And then you'll have situations where riders, they're indifferent, and a driver will explain to them, hey, I'm actually getting paid to use this. There's new songs on here. Do you want to? And then the rider will engage with them. And I think the drivers specifically, they're micro entrepreneurs. And so they're very much focused on making money. Actually, they're a really incredible user type to work with because, you know, usually you'll like take user feedback on product and be like, I don't like this color or change the font or it'd be really cool if you do this. They're very clear and concise around exactly what they want to enhance the experience. We have full-time support Monday to Friday alive, and it's probably our busiest department.
Biggest question on my mind I want to ask you now is, how do you source artists?
So 2018, our artists came from referral, and we didn't put a heavy focus on artist acquisition, and there was a couple of reasons for that. So our highest priority in terms of everything that we do is around the writer experience, and so we objectively approve artists and music. So our team don't sit there and say, oh my God, I really love this song, therefore put it on a playlist. Our team listen to music and they say, this production quality is high enough to be on radio, therefore I will approve it, right? And it's like a voting system. And then early this year, we started just focusing more on digital acquisition and then nurturing partnerships and relationships within the industry with streaming platforms, distribution platforms, and then other music tech companies that are focused on, so that's the independent artist side. And then on the label side, it's relationship building essentially. And we partook in Universal. Capitol Records have a program called G-Beta. So we spent 7 weeks with them and we got to hang out with like their A&R marketing teams.
And these days it seems a lot like companies in all industries are trying to collect data. I would love to know more about the data points that you're looking at and how quickly can it anticipate what I want to hear.
From September until December 2017, we ran a pilot program with 100 drivers and 100 songs. And the only thing the driver could do was hit the play button and choose a playlist, which is almost what they can only do now. But we didn't have rules around how the content was distributed. It was just, it played. Out of our top 10 artists, 3 of them have gotten signed to major label in the last 6 weeks. And so if you take, not as a result of Stereo, but what we were able to see is that there's a significant difference between artists and taking like engagement stats around not just how many times did the song get played, but how long did it play for, what was the average volume, in what location, at what time of day, and what day of the week. And then in terms of how we even serve out or identify what content should be served, we have 4 types of playlists and they kind of are dictate or define how music is being distributed. So genre, obviously, right? So that's more of a request from the writer. Mood, which is relative to somebody who's going to work in the morning versus somebody who's going on a night out on a Saturday. Editorial, which are curated by our team. So things like staff picks, Valentine's Day, Christmas songs. So they're more like one-off editorial. We also reserve space for like tastemakers and curators to be able to create playlists as well around new music that they love. And then branded playlists, which is for brands who are looking to identify or characterize themselves using music. And then with the branded playlists, what actually happens is they sponsor airtime on behalf of the artist. And so that obviously is about creating a relationship that contributes to their success.
And can one artist almost accidentally become the monopoly of the playlist just because a certain amount of people liked it? How do you make sure that other artists are also being heard?
So it's defined by budget. A $5,000 budget versus a $500 budget will define how much airtime you get, right? The only way to get on editorial is essentially from engagement stats on mood and genre-based playlists. And so that allows us to be able to identify and evenly distribute with artists that are coming through the platform that maybe don't have as big a budget as a major label artist, or and the same with sponsored playlists or branded playlists as well, is it gives equal opportunity, but it's budget driven.
And is it difficult being multi-sided in this marketplace, or does it play to your advantage?
We're like four businesses in one. Depends on what day you ask.
Sure.
I would say it's an advantage from a competitive standpoint because we're not reliant on any one user type in order for a business to succeed. And there's a multitude of ways that you can look at the business and perceive what success might be, right? On the other side, like even our website. So we currently have two websites. We've got Stereo for the artists and Play Stereo for the drivers. And the reason is like you think about the profile of a 22-year-old emerging artist who's never put a song out before versus a 56-year-old driver who lives in Chicago and has three kids. You know, it's like, how do you even put language together? And so to date, the way we've been operating is two very siloed user bases, specifically for the driver and the artist. However, we're just about to reposition our brand to bring in more human connection because we're at the point where even on the driver's side, we are trying to attract a certain type of driver that's invested in the overall ecosystem that we're creating and not just to make money. You know, because you have drivers who love the artists and they advocate for them in the cars. Those are the ones that create impact for the artist.
Let's stay on this topic. I can see you smiling. Community driven is a big part of a lot of businesses, sustainability, local sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
How big of an effect is it, or do you want this to be on your company?
All day, every day. So that's 100% the ethos that we live by. It's the way that we operate on any given day. It doesn't matter who the user is. They're all part of what we're creating. We hosted a songwriting camp in Capitol Records in November, I think it was. And so we took 16 artists from Stereo who never met each other before, put them in Studio B for 2 days, four groups of four, and they wrote 8 songs over 2 days. You see them posting on social. They like refer to each other as fam. They hang out, you go to any of their gigs, 10 to 20% of the room is filled with other artists on the platform. It's very cool. And then like on the driver side, we're actually just about to launch an ambassador program. So we've got 20 to 50 drivers across all the major cities that we're in, that we're building out that team to pull them into community moderation and like hosting events. But it's very cool. And like our team, there are artists and drivers. So one of the guys on our team is actually a driver that we pitched before we had an app, you know?
I was gonna ask that question. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So Anne, tell them about this idea of stories. Sometimes it's hard to remember the artist or the name, but if you have a story with it, does any of this idea of human connection, events, play into that at all?
When we started Stereo First, we would receive MP3 files via email and we were doing playlists from spreadsheets. And so this one song came in and it was like super cheesy pop. We're like, okay. About 3 days later, coincidentally, that band were in town and I went to go see them play. They were 14, 15 and 17 and the song was about them getting to not wait in line, going to like a club, right? I assume it wasn't a club if they're that age, but wherever they were going to. But it was the context of understanding their age and who they were. Then I connected with the song in a completely different way, right? I'm one of those people who like never remembers song names or artists. And since I've started working on Stereo, I see and hear. So I see artists and I hear music in a different dimension because I have context to who it is and like why they even made those songs. So I definitely like think about it differently now.
And it seems to almost what people say is, you know, it's not what you said or what they remember, it's how you made them feel, sort of thing. So that's amazing. Where are you as a company in your growth cycle? Obviously, you mentioned you have some pilots going out right now and the ambassador program.
So this year, we're heavily focused on market activation. market activation and then streamlining the overall operation. So like even things like playlisting, right? So you think about playlisting 1,000 songs a day and even approving 1,000 artists, right? So it's like, how do we build a solid streamlined infrastructure for the company to be able to grow? We have some awesome new features that we're releasing. We just we're about to integrate with AdsWizz, which will open up the advertising side so agencies can buy direct. We're thinking about how do we also make it easier for customers to be able to execute. I mean, we're a year old, right? Stereo is a business that from like the day we opened the doors, we started operating and generating revenue. So we're definitely more established for a company of what our age is. But we're still figuring it out. And I think also being a multi-sided marketplace and nobody has done this before, we're just learning as we're operating.
And you're building your network, your community. Yeah. Curious as to people who want to get involved in this, your mm-hmm. events, is there anything going on in the US or overseas? Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So we have a variety of events that we host. So again, from the artist side is like thinking about an artist who needs every resource and piece of education available to them so that they can start their career, all the way to artists who need their career accelerated. And so we'll host masterclasses, workshops, panels, boot camps, and then also provide them with opportunities. So like last week we had about 250 people attend an event at the Hotel Roosevelt. There we had four artists perform. And so that was their fans, music lovers, some industry people. But then we'll also on the other side have other events that are 100% industry focused. And that's really about, again, putting the right people in the room and for the artists. And then the driver side is something that we haven't done to date, but will be doing in the future across the cities, is even just supporting them through events, like personalized events, especially for our users. And then I think long-term is bringing in secret gigs and like experiential from the music for riders. So, you know, imagine traveling home from work in your Uber or your Lyft and hearing a message saying, congratulations, you just won VIP tickets to an event. We're taking you there right this second. And so incorporating the rider into cool musical experiences like that.
Let's stay on the topic of vision.
Yep.
Something that jumped up in my head when you mentioned agency. Mm-hmm. Will there ever be commercials or a pause in the music?
We do serve advertising. We serve up to 60 seconds worth of advertising for every 15 minutes of content. Our goal is to provide custom audio experiences for each and every rider where they're not disrupted by messaging, but triggering and targeting advertising to people. So we call it like a message in a moment that's relative to them. And because we're geo-targeted, essentially you can say it's morning time, traveling to work, Starbucks is two blocks away, and it's hot outside. Play a cold brew message instead of a hot coffee message, right? It's very much about making it more meaningful and bringing like narrative and story into how the advertising piece works.
I'm really enjoying your answers right now. They seem very genuine.
Yeah.
What would be your message in a moment about your company right now? What's the perception you want people to think of when they hear Stereo?
I think it's that overall incredible experience, whether you're an artist, a driver, or a place that people can feel like connected and supported. But whoever it is, to walk away and say like, wow, that was a great song, or that impacted my career, or that made a difference because I was able to pay my phone bill.
And what's the kind of feedback you've gotten from family, friends, users, drivers?
My family still probably don't know what I do. I mean, they do at this point, but they've watched me build my career, right? So they're just super supportive and excited no matter what I'm doing. The drivers are a very unique user type, so they're very vocal. Actually, a great example is, so we've got a backlog. We've probably got about 4 to 5 month wait list on drivers currently. And so drivers who are waitlisted are complaining because they want to get access because their friends are making so much money from it. I mean, those are like growing problems,
good
right?
Problems. Yeah.
Good problems, but they're still, somebody has to deal with that on a daily basis. Actually, I was speaking to another company in the rideshare space during the week, and she was saying, oh, so cool story how I discovered about you guys. They had a meet and greet with drivers at South by Southwest this year. And one of the drivers was like, have you heard about Stereo? They're so awesome. Look how much money I made. And then continued to message her for 3 days afterwards with playlists and artists on Stereo. And I think that if you engage with our drivers randomly, that's the type of feedback and excitement that you'll get. And I think on the artist side is actually last week at the event, and I will say I had tears come when I heard it. There was an artist standing behind me. I think she had just come off stage and they were saying, oh, you're amazing and whatnot. And she said, I never felt like I belonged in the music industry before. Now I feel like there's somewhere that I belong. That, for the artist, is what we're trying to create for every artist, not just the ones who are in LA or New York, but, you know, an artist from a small town in London or somewhere in Europe.
Well, that's amazing. I want to wrap up here just on some personal questions. Yep. We can continue to get to know you. Thank you so far for all you've shared. Just curious as to, you're a serial entrepreneur. What could be next for you if you weren't doing this? What is it that you're passionate about? It could be a social issue. It could be your next company.
I think Stereo, well, I'll never say never, right, is my last startup that I'll execute in this way in terms of like bootstrapping and financing. I think I would like to go into either start an accelerator program for entrepreneurs or investment post Stereo. And I think in terms of being more involved in social, you know, I think building a business doesn't really allow time-wise to be able to contribute as much as you want to. But I think education as well is like, I'm not somebody who's academic, just opportunities around providing children with insights of there's other ways to do it is something that I'm passionate about.
How about leadership? What kind of leader are you, or do you want to be seen as?
Ooh, I wonder would my team say the same thing. I have a very like laissez-faire attitude. Yesterday we were having a conversation around, we don't have start and end times within the company, and should we implement them? I definitely think about like building teams as like all of us have a role. Yes, I'm a founder and yes, I am CEO, but I have a role within the company that is required to make the company operate just like everybody else does. And so everybody sits at the table and does what they're supposed to do. Yeah, so I would like to say is like what my team would say about me is that I'm fair, I'm clear, but I'm also encouraging. My favorite part of building teams is just watching the growth happen from somebody who's like first day in with few skills to being able to do every aspect of the business.
And who are your personal heroes? Or even just anybody you look up to?
Richard Branson is definitely somebody that I identify with and just love his philosophy around life and how he executes. And like sounds super cheesy, but I think my co-founders, we're like family. So like on an everyday scenario, it's like those are people that I definitely look up to and respect.
And what do you guys like to do for fun?
Music. Music. So I obviously go to a lot of gigs for work, but outside of work, I really enjoy going to see live music. And then I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie, so I'm learning to fly at the moment.
Wow.
And then I skydive, scuba dive, anything that is scary, I like to do.
Is it a daily rush or something that once a quarter you like to go do that?
As much as I can. So like I'll go and do the wind tunnels instead of diving, right? So I'll usually try and get a somewhat regular fix, but again, time permitting, right?
Of course. And leaving one message for our listeners thinking about starting their own company, interested in the ride-sharing economy, leave just one piece of advice for them or one last thought that you'd like to share.
I think it's work ethic, right? Specifically for entrepreneurs. It's like you're always going to encounter challenges. It's just about working through them and being the hardest working person in the room. because people identify and can see that. And whether that's an investor or a customer, no matter what happens, they can see it and they can see that work ethic comes with effort, right? I would say work hard.
Yes, work hard. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so pleased to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for tuning into this episode. Please feel free to leave a comment or tag a friend who might be interested in learning more. If anyone is interested in hearing more about Anne, be sure to check out Anne's company website, Stereo, and she has so much more to share on social media. Have a great day, and we will be back with more entrepreneurs and philanthropists soon. Thanks for listening.